this place. If you want to read along with me this morning, I want to take a text in Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 5, a familiar incident that happened during the ministry of Jesus, a woman who was plagued for many years with a bleeding from her body, and Jesus healing her. And the title of the message we want to share today is The Stronger Voice of Grace. The Stronger Voice of Grace. And the context here, as we're going to pick up reading in a moment in verse 24, is that Jesus had just been on the east side of the Sea of Galilee, and he had healed a man who was possessed by a legion of demons, and had come back to the west side of Galilee. And as soon as he arrived, there was a man, a leader of a Jewish synagogue. His name was Jairus. And he had asked Jesus to come and heal his daughter, who was at the point of death. And so as we pick up our reading, Jesus is on the way to Jairus' house to heal his daughter. And all that we're going to read here is an interruption to that. This was interrupting what Jesus was in the midst of doing, going with Jairus to heal his daughter. And so in verse 24 in Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, it says, "And Jesus went with him," being Jairus, "and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, 'If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole.' And straightway, immediately, the fountain of her blood, the source of her bleeding, was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press, in the midst of all those people, and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' And his disciples said unto him, 'Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?' And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, 'Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague.'" Let's pray together before we go further this morning. Lord, we thank you so much for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you that he came down into the midst of our mess and lived among us, Lord, even to rub shoulders with us, Lord, even to the point of carrying our filth of our sin upon him to the cross. Lord, meet with us and be with us this day, Lord, as we try to share your word. I pray that you would chase away every other distraction from our mind, but simply to hear what you are saying to us. Lord, that we would receive your word, that we would respond to your word in accordance with your will. Lord, we pray for any that are among us today that are lost, that don't know relief from that burden, that they would find hope in your Son, Jesus Christ, that they would be granted faith to trust him and to believe in him. Lord, we pray for those who in our midst are saved but haven't shared it, haven't professed, haven't testified, haven't told, Lord, of what you've done, that today that you would help them to remember and to feel the significance of what you've done in their heart, Lord, that they would be bold to proclaim, Lord, who you are and what you've done in their life, and that they would have a heart to follow you. Lord, just above all, we want to lift up the name of your Son, Jesus, today, that we all might see him a little clearer, that we might all have a greater reverence in our heart for who he is and what he's done and what he's doing right now. We thank you for this day, and we ask for your blessing and presence. In Jesus' name, amen. The passage starts off giving us information about this woman, and the first thing we learn is that her affliction was a long affliction. 12 years. 12 years she had had this condition, a bloody discharge from her body that had not gone away. We also learn in verse 26 that she had tried everything she could, every remedy she knew of, every bit of advice or help she could get, even seeking the help of the medical community that existed at that time in first century Jerusalem, in that area, to find wisdom, to find help, to what can I do? And what we find is that she tried many things. She spent everything she had, and she only grew worse. And as I was studying this, it was interesting. I found some of those things that she likely did. This is from a little synopsis I'm going to give you is from the Babylonian Talmud, which was the Jewish guide for daily life. And there were multiple treatments that were offered for people who had bleeding issues like this. And I'll read you a little description. It says, most of these treatments involved boiling various things in wine, such as Persian onions, cumin, saffron, fenugreek, or a fern, having the woman hold it and declaring to her, cease your discharge. She may be told to sit at a crossroads holding a cup of wine while a man comes from behind and frightens her, shouting, cease your discharge. One cure calls her to rub flour on the lower half of her body. She may be told to burn thistles or an ostrich egg and wrap it in cloth. The strangest is the last, to fetch barley grain found in the dung of a white mule and hold it in her hand. If she holds it for one day, her bleeding will cease for one day. If she holds it for 3 days, the bleeding will cease forever. Likely, that woman had tried every one of those things. In fact, finding the white mules and the Persian onions and all that stuff, she had spent everything she had trying to rid herself of this disease, and she was only worse. And not only was this woman in pain and was she distraught, but the condition that she had cost her something. Her condition was considered an uncleanness. And because of that condition, she was excluded from temple worship. She could not go in the place where the other Israelites gathered in the temple to worship because she was unclean. And so she was, in a sense, an outcast from the spiritual life of the community. And not only that, her condition excluded her from social contact because anybody that came in close contact with her and touched her, was around her, was also considered unclean. These laws were found in Leviticus 15, if you would care to go and read about those. Verses 25 through 27 speak about the rules about an uncleanness. Even back in Moses' day when the Israelites were encamped rather than living in cities, those who were unclean were set outside the camp, away from the central life of Israel. So this woman was physically, socially, emotionally, spiritually, financially impoverished. This was her condition. And the scriptures, as it describes her, wants us to know all of these things about her, the situation she was in. 12 years of this, truly at the end of her rope and feeling hopeless. But verse 27, when she had heard of Jesus. When she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, if I could just touch but his clothes, I will be whole. We know about her condition, but her conviction that she had was based on what she'd heard of this Jesus. She believed and had this hope that he could help her. I want to tell you, those of you who know Jesus, who have a relationship with God, who have a testimony of what it means to experience the new birth, what it means to be delivered from sin, to have God work in your life and do something, and not just your salvation, but the times after that, my friends, as you share these things, don't believe that people don't hear. Sometimes these are the very things that stick in their heart, that lodge in there, that move inside them, that they can't seem to shake and forget because they've heard that somebody else has found relief from the same types of problems, the same types of pains that they're facing. When you profess and testify to a truth, what the Lord Jesus has done for you, that made an impact on this woman, because when she had heard of Jesus and what Jesus was doing and how he was healing and how he was helping people, she had hope because she was otherwise hopeless. Hopeless. But the sharing of Jesus brought this woman in her condition hope. Brought her hope. But her condition created two problems. She couldn't go and ask Jesus to touch her, because to do that would be asking Jesus to become unclean. And she was afraid to do that, and she really wasn't supposed to go out in public, much less in a thronging crowd of people all over the place, because everybody that she was pressing through to try to get to Jesus, she was making ceremonially unclean. None of those people she touched were supposed to go to the temple. They didn't know it, right? I mean, we all understand a little bit of this with the COVID thing that's been going on for the last few years. You know, somebody have COVID and everybody's all, you know, this woman had a condition that would make everybody she touched unclean according to Jewish law. And so she was scared. She was perplexed. She didn't know what to do. But her conviction was, if I could just get to him, if I could just touch his garment, if I could just touch his robe, even that would be enough to heal me. The last thing this woman wanted was to be publicly exposed, because 12 years of this shame and 12 years of this disease, and at this time many people looked on something like this as, well, you must have done something wrong. That's how they looked at people. That's how they treated people. We see that very consistently in the Pharisees, these eyes of judgment that would see somebody going through a difficulty and say, what did you do? There must be something. Kind of like Job's friends, right? You must have done something. And so this woman, the last thing she wanted to do was to be publicly exposed, but she did not have any other way to get this healing. And her belief and her conviction that Jesus could do something made it worth the risk. And so she, when she heard that he was near, she came in the crowd and in the press behind Jesus. Not in front of him, but behind him. And was able to reach out and simply touch his garment. And from the moment that she touched his garment, she felt in herself. She perceived in herself. This thing that was going on was something that she could feel in her. She knew that she was plagued, and she knew what it felt like, and there was some degree of discomfort or pain associated with her bleeding, because when she touched Jesus, she immediately felt healed. She immediately felt that it was taken care of and it was gone. She felt the peace of her healing, and she knew it. She knew it. And so did Jesus. And so did Jesus. It says at that moment that Jesus perceived that virtue, which in this sense means power, had gone out of him to heal her. At that moment, Jesus was feeling the bump and the pressure. Maybe Jairus had his arm and was leading him to his house, and there were other disciples around him, and there were big crowds, people asking all sorts of things, and he was literally thronged, as it says in this passage. People pressing in, inundating, swamping him. And so he was feeling all of that, but in the midst of all those touches and presses against him, there was something else that he felt. He felt that power had gone out of him to do something, to heal somebody. And when that happened, he stopped dead in his tracks and he said, "Who touched me? Who here touched me?" And the disciples looked at him and they said, "What do you mean? Everybody is touching you. I mean, what do you mean? Who touched you?" But Jesus knew exactly what was going on. And that woman knew exactly what Jesus meant and who Jesus was talking to at that moment. Because when we understand what's going on with that touch of Jesus, that healing was priceless for the woman. Priceless. 12 years longing, wanting, waiting, desiring for this to be solved because it was costing her everything. She wanted so bad to be able to be with people. She wanted probably to be able to go and worship. She wanted to be able to enjoy these things. She wanted to be healed. She wanted to quit spending her money on things that weren't working. She desired it so much. And what Jesus gave her was absolutely priceless. And it didn't cost her a thing. She didn't have to dole out money for it. But my friends, even though it was priceless and without price for her, it was not without price for Christ. Because this manner of healing, this manner of help that Jesus was giving cost him something. It cost him something. Her blood flow stopped, but his was set to be shed to pay for this healing and what he was doing for this woman. Isaiah says it like this in Isaiah 53 verses 4 and 5. "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed." With his wounds, we are healed. And so what this woman reached out to grasp Jesus for this healing was something that ultimately was going to cost him. And as Jesus stopped in the midst of all that crowd, and he said, "Who has touched me?" We see in verse 33 that this woman, it tells us how she was feeling. She was fearing and she was trembling because she knew what was done in her. She knew that God had done something in her. And that to just be quiet and to go hide would be to deny the blessing that she had received. To not honor and acknowledge what God had done, but it scared her to death. And this really had to be her worst nightmare. To confess her impurity. To confess that she had defiled the people by pressing through the crowd. To confess that she defiled Jesus by going and touching him. All this in front of an entire crowd of people who were thronging them. And she had to confess. And it says what? That she told them everything. She confessed everything. Told him in verse 33, all the truth. She came and she fell down before Jesus and just put it all out there. Got totally honest. Her faith in Jesus and the reality of what he had done for her compelled her and moved her. That despite this being probably the scariest moment of her life, she had to confess. And I want to ask you for a moment today, if the Lord has saved your soul and the Lord has touched you and he's made a difference, he's changed your heart and he's forgiven your sin and he's put his spirit inside of you to live with you, to give you eternal life, to never leave you or forsake you. What you received when Jesus Christ saved your soul is a greater healing with greater power, and greater potential than what this woman received in the crowd. But would you not confess? Would you not own and honor the one who took your shame, who took your pain, who took your sin and went to the cross that you might experience that peace? Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And despite all of what it could mean and all of the fears and the fact that she was literally trembling, she told all the truth. She put it all out there. And we see in this final verse, we've seen her condition, we've seen her conviction about touching Jesus, we saw her confession, and now we're going to see his compassion and the cause of her conversion. In verse 34, he said to her after this, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." What Jesus says here, and it's a really important verse for us to make sure we get this whole passage right. He said, the thing that saved you, the thing that helped you, was your faith. It wasn't being able to touch the garment. That was the instrument. It was the circumstance. But what was at the root of that? Because there were lots of people around Jesus touching him, bumping into him, that were not being healed. But it was the fact that that woman had this deep-hearted trust and belief in Christ, that Jesus was the answer, that Jesus could do this, that Jesus was the one who could make this right. It was that, and Jesus points it out, it is that faith that made a difference. You see a little bit of the superstitions of that time and her desire to just touch his garment. Even today, there are people who are, you know, search for the Shroud of Turin or say, was this really the garment used to bury Jesus? And oh, it's a holy object and this and that. No, it's a fraud. All the things back and forth. The fact is, my friends, we do not need a piece of cloth that was upon the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to get exactly what we need from him. Amen. We need faith. We need to look to him. We need to trust him. The centurion had a servant who was ill, and he told Jesus about the servant, and Jesus was going to go. And the centurion says, "You don't even need to come to my house. I'm not worthy. Just say the word, and my servant will be fine." And Jesus said, "I've not seen faith like this in Israel. I've not seen somebody who just believes." And that man's servant was healed from that very hour that Jesus did this. Jesus highlighted the essence of what made a difference in his statement. "Daughter," and I'm going to rephrase this, "your trust in me, your trust in me has made you whole. Go in peace," and that's the Jewish word for peace, shalom, which means wholeness. "Go in wholeness, be whole of your affliction." This woman who came to Jesus completely impoverished in every area of her life, left with a richness and a fullness and a wholeness that she had never had before. More than just a healing of her body, she received a healing of her soul. And it was the compassion of Jesus Christ who saved her. It was the compassion of Jesus. It's not faith that you hold in your heart. It's the one that you are trusting in, the object of the faith that matters. Folks, you could believe in the power of M&Ms to heal you from all ailments, and it will not do you a bit of good. You could have all faith that it's just going to make a difference, and it won't do anything because the object of your faith is empty of the power to save you and help you. But if the object of your faith is one who has power, who has ability, and your faith is not wasted. Your trust is well placed. And this one that she trusted in, he had compassion because he was willing to be touched. He was willing to be touched. He knew he was touched, but he was willing to be touched by her. He was willing to carry her shame and her sin to the cross and die for it. He was willing to do this, to gladly do this. And the truth is that same Jesus has carried your sin, The same Jesus has carried your shame. He is well acquainted with the feeling of your grief and your sin and all the things upon your heart. He knows it well, because every wrong thing about you, my friend, he took upon him and he carried it to the cross. And under the weight of your sin and my sin and the sin of the whole world, he died in that place. He knows it. And he told us to take this message and to preach it to you, to share it with you, to tell you about that. That is the commission we have as a church and as a people, to take what Jesus has done and tell others about it, because the fact is that he wants to save you. He wants to save you. And in this very moment, in this very place, there is just as much opportunity to be saved in this place as there was if Jesus was passing by and you were there next to the Sea of Galilee. There is no less potential and power. This woman went from being a social outcast to being called a daughter. He called her daughter. Daughter. You know, that had to just ring in her heart. Jesus called me daughter and told me that I was whole, and he sent me away in peace. He gave me this answer that I truly needed. You see, in that day, there were different voices. And I want you to understand this and think about this. The voice of the Jewish law said that she was ceremonially unclean, that she should not be going to touch Jesus, that she should not be in that crowd. And I'm not going to contradict that, because it is very much true in a sense. There is a decree from God about what's right and what's wrong, what is true and what is a lie, what is pure and what is unholy. God's word has set these things forth. He has divided these things. And my friends, what God has called righteousness is righteous. And what God has called sin is sin. And the fact is that we are sinners. Not just good people who sin every once in a while. No, we are sinners. People who by our very nature are characterized by our evils, by our misdeeds, by our wrongs. So much so we are rightly called sinners. And that is true. It is a true word. It is a holy word. It is a righteous word. And the very truth of the matter is, apart from a freedom from our sin, that right and true and honest pronouncement of God's word will make it very just for God to send us to hell. And he will not be able to be counted unrighteous or unfair when all things are opened up and everything is exposed and God stands there in all of his pureness and holiness and he pronounces his word and he reveals all of these things. There will not be a single person who will be able to look at that and say, God, you're being unfair. Because everything will be absolutely clear. And so there was to her, this woman, the voice of the law, the voice telling her she shouldn't or that she couldn't or that she wasn't worthy. And there was a truth in that in a sense, but there was a stronger voice of grace, a stronger voice of hope through Jesus Christ. This is a stronger voice, and it's a more glorious voice, not because, and get me, not because it contradicts the law, but it pronounces a hope of the law being satisfied in Christ's death for our sins so that we may be forgiven and so that we may be made whole. And it is a stronger and it's a more glorious voice of grace that says, yes, you are a sinner. And yes, you do not deserve Christ. And yes, there's a million reasons why you shouldn't be saved today. But the only voice that matters is that Jesus says, come. Jesus says, come. Jesus has said, I have made a way. I have made a way to silence every one of those voices. I have satisfied the law. I have paid the price for your sin. I have died the death that you should die. And if you would come to me, and if you would trust in me, and you would look to me with just that little bit of hope and trust looking to me, today you can be saved. You can be set free. You can leave this place, whether it's been 12 years or 12 months or 100 years, whatever it is, this burden, this weight, you can be set free today by Jesus Christ. And so I urge you today that will you listen to the voice of grace? Will you listen to that stronger and that sweet voice that is calling you and compelling you to come to know Jesus Christ? Because as Paul said it when he was preaching on Mars Hill, he said, look, God has called us to seek him and feel our way toward him, to feel after him. But he's not far. He's not far. All around us, my friends, all things are being upheld in this place by the word of his power. We are a crowd here today, but my friend, Jesus Christ is in the midst. Amen. He is in the midst of this place. And if in the midst of all of this, if you would hear that voice of grace and you would press toward Christ and you would look to him and trust him, today you can be saved. Today you can be saved of that which you truly need to be saved of. Do you feel like this woman? Do you feel and perceive in you the weight and the separation of your sins? Do you know that something's not right? Do you feel the weight of that? Because my friend, if you do, the Lord has a remedy for what you're feeling in your heart right now. And it's the grace of salvation. And my friend, that is one of the greatest ways to know that you have been saved on the other side, because that burden is gone. And he simply replaces it with the peace of his presence. Don't look for lights. Don't look for shouts. God can do whatever he wants to do. But my friend, all you are promised is peace. All you are promised is peace and a relief from that burden. And if God has done that in your heart, and if you know that he's done that in you and he's forgiven you, who touched me? He's saying, who touched me? You need to give him glory. Amen. I know it's scary. You may shake. I get up here and I shake too sometimes. But Jesus is worth it. Amen. And Jesus is worthy. I want us to have a song of invitation, Brother Adam and Sister Janet, if we could have a song today. And I want to invite you today. You're welcome to pray here. You're welcome to pray where you're at. If God is dealing with your heart in some way today, I urge you to be responsive to that strong and sweet voice of grace. If you've got a testimony that needs to be shared today, I urge you to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. But this is about him today. It's not about us. As we stand and sing.